Thank you, Tyler. That melody is so fitting on the last Sunday of the year, and yet those words are so poignant and meaningful. I also learned that this being the last Sunday of the year, it happens to be Tyler's birthday today. I didn't know that for first service, so I didn't get to say anything. But Tyler, thank you for leading us in worship today and even doing so on your birthday. Greatly appreciated. My name is Peter Tridy. I'm the chairman of the elder board here at New Song. Today we're doing something just a little bit different because we're kind of reflecting back on the previous year and looking forward to the next. Grant has asked myself and Melody Anderson to share the platform with him this morning. Just to share from our own hearts, both what we have seen kind of transpire in the past year or so, and what we're looking at coming ahead. So how many of you, did any of you receive clothes for Christmas? Raise your hand if you received clothes for Christmas. Are any of you wearing the clothes that you received for Christmas? All right, good. I did receive one piece of clothing for Christmas. I got a t-shirt. I have a niece that is on a full scholarship at University of Arizona, a swimming scholarship. So she got me a t-shirt so that I can kind of support that cause. You know, I find that t-shirts are really a good way to send messages, right? This is one of my Christmas-themed t-shirts. If this one says, "I shot my eye out." If you don't know what this is about, then you're going to have to watch A Christmas Story. It's a great movie, great Christmas tradition. You know, I'm not the only one in my household that likes t-shirts. Linda, come on up here. Linda, my wife, my beautiful wife, also likes to send messages with t-shirts. This one that she's wearing says, what does it say? "I already want to take a nap tomorrow." This is another one of her t-shirts. This one says, "Namaste in bed." And I think this is my favorite of her t-shirts. This one says, "That's a terrible idea. What time?" Thank you, dear. I have... this t-shirt here has been one of my favorites over the years. This one is pretty worn out now. You can tell it's kind of, you know, falling apart at the collar and stuff like that. But it's one of those shirts that just has that right feel to it, you know. But now that this one's been falling apart like it is, I can only wear this one at home. So I have another favorite shirt. I figured since I was going to do a t-shirt theme, I could wear a t-shirt today. So this is my my new favorite t-shirt. It's got long sleeves, so it's good for this kind of weather. It's soft. It's just kind of, it's got that right amount of thickness to it, you know, but it's still soft and comfortable. So this is my new favorite t-shirt. I also saw Grant wearing a t-shirt this past week. Let's take a look at that one. I really don't know what to make of this one. It says, it's hard to read, but it says "football," spelled with a P, "America's sport," with an N. So Grant will have to explain that at some point. I'm not sure what it means, but it was a quick opportunity that I saw to snap a quick picture of him. One of the problems that I have with my t-shirts, just about every one of my t-shirts has food stains on it. Anyone identify with that? I don't know if it's just that I'm a messy eater or what it is, but it's one of those problems that I have. And I think that, you know, for me, I prefer a t-shirt to a collared shirt any day. That it's just more comfortable, and but it's also with the food stains on my shirts, I think it's just a sign of my ordinary humanness. So hopefully that'll be something that you can see about me, is that I'm just an ordinary guy and I have stains on my t-shirts just like a lot of other people. Grant asked us to look behind and look ahead, just looking back over the past year or so, and I wanted to share a few things from my unique perspective as chairman of the elder board. You know, we've experienced a lot of things as a church in the last couple of years. 2 years ago at this time, we were doing a pastoral search. And then about a year and a half ago, we hired Grant as our new lead pastor. And so we've seen just that walk, that journey has been, there's been just so many things, so many exciting things that God has been doing in our midst. One of the things that stands out to me as I've served with the other elders is that we are really ordinary people. I don't mean that. I guess what I'm trying to say is you know, if you think of us as the elders as being someone special or elite, that's really not the case. Now, we do, you know, when we choose elders, there's biblical guidance that we see in 1 Timothy and in Titus that gives us character qualities of an elder. But what I'm really mean by about that ordinariness is that, you know, we have, life affects us in the same way as all the rest of you. We have weaknesses, and we struggle, and we are affected by the difficulties of life. We have emotions. We make mistakes. So all of those things are true about us, even as we are serving in that capacity. What's unique is that we have felt a call that God has placed on our life, and we've basically said yes to that call. And I see that throughout church history. If we look back at some of the founders of the church, we first see the Apostle Peter, who was one of Jesus' disciples. He was a pretty ordinary guy. He was a fisherman. When we look at Peter in Scripture, we see that he was a stubborn guy. He was quick to deny Jesus. He was one of the, as soon as things started getting hard, he was denying Jesus. It didn't take much for him to kind of slip into that. But Jesus also called him to some great things. He was the one who had enough faith to step out of the boat and walk on water to Jesus. Peter was the first of the disciples to actually see the resurrected Jesus. You know, God called him to do amazing things, even within his ordinariness. James, the brother of Jesus, there's more than one James that's mentioned in the New Testament. There was more than one apostle named James. This is someone who's become to be known as James the Just, or just James, right? That's pretty ordinary. What I find amusing is that in order to distinguish James, the brother of Jesus, from the other James is known as James the Great. The brother of Jesus became known as James the Less. How's that for ordinary, right? Go through life with that being your claim to fame. He's James the Less, but he was a skeptic. In Scripture, we learn that he and his brothers and sisters didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah at first. It took them a while. Once the resurrected Jesus appeared to James, he was a believer. And we actually are going to have an opportunity to go through James. It's going to be the next study that we do with Pastor Grant, is a study on the book of James, which was most likely authored by James the Less, just James. Another one is John. John was another fisherman. He became known as a disciple, the disciple who Jesus loved. And a lot of times throughout Scripture, we see Peter and John right at the center of the activity of Jesus's ministry. These guys became central to what Jesus was building here as his church. He's the only disciple that's mentioned that was actually present at the cross during the crucifixion. In fact, Jesus pointed him out and commissioned him to watch over Jesus' own mother as she would need that help. So these three men, Peter, James, and John, very ordinary men that were called to a purpose, and they said yes. And they're now known as the pillars of the church. They're commonly referred to as the pillars of the early church. When I look back over the last year or so, it's not just the elders here at New Song that have been involved in exciting things, the kingdom of God being revealed and us partnering with him in that arena. I've seen this throughout our congregation. There's so many different ways that I've seen ministry take place. And just to give you a few examples, we've seen weekly Bible studies at the Charter Oak Mobile Estates, which is right next to us over here. We've had ministry opportunities with McKinley Children's Home. I looked at McKinley's website the other day, and it says, at McKinley, we're driven by a belief that every person is worthy of hope and help. Isn't that great? I mean, that right there is reflecting the idea of we all bear the image of God. Every person is worthy of help and hope and help because we are image bearers. So I thought that was pretty amazing to read. We've had connections with San Dimas High School, with Lone Hill Middle School. We've been able to connect with the staff there to bring them school supplies, to bring them coffee and donuts at different times. Just a great opportunity. We're going to be continuing that connection with some tutoring opportunities here on our campus. We have connected with Life Pacific University, which is just kind of kitty corner over here. We have, you'll hear a little more about some of the things that took place recently there, but we've had interns here serving at New Song that are students there. You might have seen Ben up here a couple of times leading worship. Ben is an intern at Life Pacific. Angel, who's been helping out with some other ministry areas, another student at Life Pacific. So it's just been a great opportunity to connect. Our pantry ministry, once again, you know, those of you, probably many of you have been involved or touched by the pantry ministry. We served 200 meals to different families in need at Thanksgiving time. Just a great way for us to see ministry happening. This is the living out of our mission statement. Our mission statement is that we want to be transformed by the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus, love people, and do good. These ministries are exactly that. That's exactly what's happening there. I've seen members of our congregation come alongside others, widows in need, widows that have need help with cleaning and doing yard sales and moving, things like that. I mean, it's been so amazing to see that taking place throughout our congregation. And again, that's happening because you are answering that call that's placed on your life. You step up, you see a need, and you step into it. Ordinary people helping other ordinary people. When I look ahead, there's one particular thing that stands out in my mind that I'm excited about. You know, when I started as chairman of the elder board, I identified a few areas around us, our neighbors around us, that I wanted to see us be able to reach. The Charter Oak Mobile Home, Life Pacific, the schools, McKinley. So we've talked about some of those things. This is a map. It shows you where New Song is and where some of those neighbors are that we've been able to reach. There's one that I want to focus on this year. Just over to the west here is a condo complex that I estimate there's about 200 people living in that complex. 200 ordinary people that need Jesus, people with food stains on their T-shirts. That are just kind of in that same place that we are, but they need Jesus. They need to know Jesus. I don't know what that's going to look like in terms of reaching out to that community. Maybe it'll be offering dog walking services, or maybe a car wash, or maybe we do a barbecue for the 4th of July and you know, treat them to that. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I'm confident that someone in this congregation is going to say, hey, I have an idea. Let's try this. And that'll be a way for us to continue to live out our mission statement this coming year. So my encouragement is just as you reflect on things at the end of this year, moving into next year, be open to how God is calling you. Are you willing to say yes to that calling? With that, I'm going to ask Melody Anderson to come up and hand the mic over to her.
Thank you, Peter. I did not receive new clothes for Christmas, so note that. Still Christmas week. You can still make deliveries. I will accept them. Yes, some T-shirts. Good morning. When Grant proposed this idea of reflecting on the year, I thought, you know what? I need some concentrated time, some really good thinking time, and I would like, you know, just some time to think on the year past, to think on the year ahead of us, and just some time. And let me tell you, God gave me that time. The other day, 2 days ago, my family and I decided to take a little road trip up to Big Bear, and God gave me that time. He gave me 9 hours of thinking time. Did you catch that? Big Bear? How far is Big Bear? Like 2 hours max? 9 hours. I don't know if you feel that. I had 10 people, 2 cars, 4 adults, 6 children, 9 hours. And I won't give you too many details because I fully believe that God gave me the gift of a sermon that day. And that is going to be titled, The Day I Could Have Walked to Big Bear Faster. There's going to be some illustrations. There's going to be characters. There's going to be plot. It's going to be great. But that's, despite the incredibly ridiculous day, we made it to our friend Marissa and Greg's cabin by 9 o'clock at night. They were actually really, really worried about us because there was like no signal. And, you know, she's like, I thought you guys either threw in the towel and went home or you were, you know, you stopped at an all-day buffet at Golden Corral. I was worried. So we got there at 9 o'clock at night and I have a few pictures up here. The first picture is in the snow, and this is just when we got to the part where, you know, you can see the snow on the mountains, and it's beautiful, and it's magical, and the kids are like, ah. Well, 4 hours later, the kids are like, whoa. So that was just before the next 4 hours. But when we got there, the next picture shows the most beautiful, picturesque, fairy tale time I have ever been to Big Bear. I've never been skiing in Big Bear. I know zilch about that stuff. We grew up just going up to Big Bear, taking our top of the trash cans and sledding through those for the day. But this was the most snow I have ever been in my life, and the freshest snow I have ever seen. The next picture here is when I got my son and my nephew really, really good. I said, hey, pose for a picture. And they were smiling, and then I went, doink on their heads, and I got them good with snow. They came after me. The next picture is of me running. But anyway, we had an incredible time, but we were only going to be up there one night. We were going to get there by lunchtime on Thursday, be there Thursday, spend the night, spend half the day there Friday, and come back Friday night because we were committed to serving in the pantry yesterday morning, Saturday morning. Well, because we had lost the 9 hours, and after I slept off my road rage that night, I woke up and I thought, you know what? If I go home right after lunch right now, it's just going to be a waste. It's going to be a waste. The kids are barely going to be able to get in the snow, and we're just going to have to turn around. So with a little encouragement from my friend who said, let's call and see who can step in for you for the pantry, I picked up the phone and I called the first person on my list. I called Wendy Martinez, who was here with the first service. And Wendy is someone who has participated in the pantry distribution before. And I'm going to do a little side note really quick. The pantry ministry here at New Song, as many of you know, is very much, very much stocked by what you guys bring in on Compassion Sundays and any random Sunday. But something that we also do here at New Song is that we receive donations from Target, and that requires a daily commitment of someone going to pick up these items at Target. And I have a team of 7-8 people that make this weekly, daily commitment to go. And I think I'm going to mention them really quickly because they deserve a little mention. I have Paula Thrope, Lanny Cram, who's next? John Thomas, Steve Fernandez, Jack Peters, and Wendy and Scott Martinez. And let's thank them for their commitment. So anyway, so I call Wendy because I know she's familiar with this. And I say, you know what, Wendy, this is what's happening. Da-da-da-da-da. Is there? And without hesitation, she says, yes, I will be there. And so I said, oh, great. My next text was to Karina and Ishmael, who were here and who had very excitedly committed to participating with my family for their first time in their pantry ministry. I said, you know what, guys? This is the story. I was stuck and blah, blah, blah. And without hesitation, Karina says, no problem, Melody. We will still be there. And so, and what's funny is that I thought, you know what, Wendy was the first person on this list, but I had a list of people that I could have called and said, hey, could you be there? And I know that they would have said yes without hesitation. And so when I think back on the year, I think, you know what, a theme kept coming to me, and I thought, you know what, this is something that I can't ignore. This is just people who reacted and said, you know what, there's a readiness to ask and a willingness to serve. And when I think about New Song and the year past, I think about something that has become part of who we are and hopefully who we continue to be. And that is something that we talk about each and every time we are up here, and hopefully something that is lived out in your lives. And say it with me, it is to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, to follow Jesus, to love people, and to do good. I have seen this lived out so much in this year past. Peter mentioned a bunch of examples, and there are so many ways that this is lived out in big and small ways. I can look around the room right now and tell you, this person does that, that person does this, this person does that. There are so many, many ways that people are living this out. Ken Dalton is our unofficial handyman. Where are you, Ken? Ken Dalton is our unofficial, if it's broken and then it's fixed, Ken probably fixed it. Yes. He also built the furniture in my office, which I'm very grateful for. Dean and Daryl came on an early Saturday morning and cleared the rain gutters before the heavy rain started so that our property wouldn't get water damage. There's so many people. Aaron and Steve Sallenbeck, where are you? Opened their house to crazy middle schoolers the other week for a middle school Christmas party. Thank you for doing that. There's so, so many examples. Like Peter said, 80 of you showed up for pantry boxing night. And that is my favorite night of the year because we are able to participate hands-on in loving people and doing some good. Peggy Drager faithfully takes the linens that are used outside in the cafe that have donut stains and coffee stains, and quietly but faithfully, she takes those and washes them every day, every week, so they can be ready for the following Sunday. There are so, so many ways that you here have been faithfully serving, quietly serving in big ways and in small ways. Please don't be offended if I didn't mention your name, because I could spend the rest of the time doing this. I've seen this willingness to act, a readiness to serve, and a desire to live this out. And I think especially when I reflect on our year 2019, you know, I think that this has been the first year from January to December that we have had the full calendar year with our lead pastor, Grant Miles Era. He's not going to look at me while I say this. But if you don't know him very well, him and his wife, Rana, they are such a gift to our church community. And by gift, I don't mean because they have superhuman talents or they're super cool, which they are, but I mean because they are truly living out this statement. They are ready to act. They are willing to serve. Grant and Rana don't care if it's something, whatever it is to participate, they answer the call, and they want to love people and do good. He could be leading a service of 300 or sweeping the floors or setting up chairs. It doesn't matter to him, because what matters to him is that the glory is to God. And I think that deserves a mention this morning. I'm not trying to win brownie points. I'm already hired, so, you know, we're good. But just in case. In the New Testament, more than 40 one another or each other phrases and commands are found. There's love one another, submit to one another, teach and counsel one another, serve one another. These aren't simple, warm, and fuzzy phrases. These are directives to call us out of looking only inside ourselves, of our selfishness, of isolating ourselves, of our pride. They are directives. If you think about the first early church and the current persecuted church, these communities, they stick together because, and they love each other, and they do life together, not because it is optional. It is essential to survival. It is essential. And my hope and prayer for this community is that we continue to be challenged by these directives as we live out this mission statement, both here in our community and outside of these walls. And my hope and prayer for this community is that God would continue to use you and your gifts and how you have been faithfully serving, or perhaps give you a new vision. If you have not had some time to sit down with this mission statement, now is the time to do that. Have you been here for a few years? Have you been here for a few weeks? Is this your first Sunday? Welcome. We believe in this. We want it to be on the forefront of our mind in what we say and what we do in our actions and everything. We want this to mean something in your life. My other hope and prayer for you is that our church would also recognize that your talents and your gifts are used wherever your sphere of influence is. What do you do? Do you work? Are you a student? Are you a stay-at-home person? What is it that you do? If you have a social circle, you have a sphere of influence. Use it. Use it. We have opportunities daily to put this into action. Lastly, as I reflect on the year that has passed and this mission statement, two specific conversations come to mind. A few weeks ago, I had someone ask me what our church was all about. What is it that New Song believes? What is it that we do? They asked me, what are you all about? And this question came to me a day after, in this very room, we had a funeral for my friend's daughter, their 9-year-old daughter, Jazzy Medrano, who died very unexpectedly. And my someone asked me that day, you may have heard about Jazzy because we have been praying for their family ever since that unexpected and very tragic day. Jazzy passed away on a Wednesday night. A prayer vigil was held here on Saturday, and their parents were in these seats on Sunday and have not missed a Sunday since. Stephanie and I were having coffee one morning, and she says, God has to be doing something really big here and doing something in me, because nothing I have within me is strong enough to do this on my own. I cannot wait for Sundays to come around. I feel safe here. I feel like I can breathe here. If you have not had a chance to meet them yet, I invite you to meet the Medrano family, because they want people around them. They need people around them. We are the people around them. And we want to love on them. And we want to love on people that walk in these doors. So when that person asked me what New Song was all about, through tears in my eyes and through an emotionally wrecked heart, the day after Jazzy's funeral, I said to this person, I said, we are a church that has a building. We open the doors, we turn on the lights, and we invite people in. And my prayer is that we continue to be a church ready and willing to act, to serve, to love one another, to influence those around us outside of these walls, and care for those who come in. We are a church that I pray has been and will continue to be a church that follows Jesus, loves people, and does some good, because that is what Christ charged us to do. That's who we are, and that's who we want to continue to be. Amen? I'm going to invite up Grant.
Thank you, Melody. Thank you, Peter. I say amen to those things that you have shared this morning, and there's some overlap, which is kind of cool. Remember, Paul said, it is not bad for me to repeat these things to you. So repetition can be really helpful in just solidifying who we believe we are and what God has called us to do. I know for myself, thinking back on the year that has passed and the year to come, I look at events and moments when I kind of have epiphanies. Something has struck me. And it kind of changes my perspective on what I see God doing, on what he is calling me into. And I just want to share three moments when I had kind of an epiphany in the past year that kind of set me about thinking about God's activity among us, and then also how that might move into the next year. The first one is something that happened at Charter Oak, kind of a moment for me of understanding and epiphany at Charter Oak. We have a Bible study every Wednesday afternoon, as many of you know, 1 p.m. every single Wednesday. Consistently, we've only missed a couple because of holidays. We gather together with some faithful Charter Oak friends. My sister had the privilege of being with us for this one. And we always start at 1 o'clock by singing I'll Fly Away, because you never know the day or the time, right? But it's beautiful. Then we sing Amazing Grace, and then we read a psalm, and then we talk about what the psalm, how it connects to our lives. We sometimes eat snacks together, and we always laugh a lot. And I'm very focused on getting things done. I'm a very kind of busy person. I like to do things, and so often I'm kind of thinking about, like, how's this going? How's the conversation going? But one of the earlier this year, I had this kind of defining moment for me when we were just having conversations, and the sharing was particularly poignant, and it just suddenly felt to me that Christ was present with us in that room, and the room seemed to glow with something beautiful, which kind of switched me off from my typical, you know, busy perspective into just kind of experience of fellowship with Christ and with these people. And I felt such a deep love for them and such a deep love for God that it was an amazing moment. And it has changed the way I see that. It's become one of my favorite parts of the week, where I go and meet Jesus with these people in his word and in song. And what really it caused me to reflect upon is that before we were ever invited into Charter Oak, God was already there. And conversations were happening between God and people. And some of them were painful conversations. Some of them were joyful conversations. Some of them were angry conversations. But God is all around us. He's in every place. So before we ever go anywhere, we have to recognize that God is already working. And so how we can see ourselves is that we are invited by God into what he is already doing. For me, that is a great confidence going into this new year, and I've seen it happening in the year that has been behind us, that God is already working in situations and places, and he merely gives us eyes to see a situation or opportunity and invites us to join him there so that we can be an answer to prayer, that we can become his hands and feet. And one of the primary things is about testimony, that we show up because we are satisfied in Christ and in our worship lives and our prayer lives and how he is working in us, that we can then come alongside those who are maybe having a very isolated relationship with God, and we can welcome them into some kind of fellowship, and we can be the ones that encourage them when times are difficult. Remind them there's a God who loves them, who is here. So we've been trying to do that, and we will continue to do that. Charter Oak, we had a summer luncheon over there. We Melody talked about this building, and we opened the doors and we switched the lights on and turned the heat on a day like this. But also we need to understand that we can't just stay and wait here till people come through these doors. We are called to go to wherever people are with a consistent and loving presence. And it may be very, very small. We've had the same six people at Charter Oak for over a year now. But the consistency of presence that we have had week after week after week, I have just seen the richness of relationships that have started to grow, and this network, which I am not in control of, but we've started to see people who come through the clubhouse as we're having a Bible study. Occasionally someone will sit on the very edge of the room pretending to watch the television, but you can tell that they are sort of drawn to what's happening, whether it's the singing or whatever it is, or the joy of our laughter. But that is happening. So we did Christmas caroling. We did two movie nights for holiday movies. Like about three or four people came. But one of those nights, this guy came and hung out for a little while and then left. And someone who's a regular person came and said, he lost his wife a few years ago and he has never got over it. And I think he has got some serious problems with self-medication. And so I kind of went after the guy and said, hey, how are you doing? And we had an amazing conversation and just that connection now, just from simply showing up where people are. Life Pacific, any Life Pacific students here, second service? Nope, good. I said not to come to the second service, to come to the first service. No, we did this really cool event called Prayer and Puppies, or Puppies and Prayer, whatever it was called, which seems like a weird combination. Because if you can remember what it's like in finals week, it's super stressful. My daughter, when she was going through finals week last year in Whitworth University, she was long distance, but I could feel the stress emanating across the continent of America from my daughter, right? Well, we are so close to Life Pacific. So I was thinking, how can we bless the students? How can we go? God's having a conversation with him. There, it's a Christian college, right? And but it's not easy being that age, trying to figure out what your future involves and all these exams and things coming at them. And I remembered my daughter had tried out a college up in Seattle, Seattle Pacific University. And one of the things she was most drawn to, out of all the programs, everything, was that in finals week, they have a puppy room. I was like, a puppy room? So I thought, let's bring the gospel ministry of puppies to Life Pacific. So there's some of the pictures. Is that the gospel? Is that church? Like, I think it is. The puppies were there just as a connection and a place. But we had the opportunity to pray with some students, which was fantastic. And for many of them, I think it was an amazing opportunity just to stop and to de-stress a little bit. There's more to come in the new year, going to where people are and coming alongside, joining them there. Cecilia Tarango and others are in the midst of launching this after-school tutoring program for Lone Hill Middle School and San Dimas High School. Opportunities to get involved there will be coming in the new year. To go where God is already working. People say, "Why we kick God out of the schools?" No wonder thing is, like, you can't kick God out of anywhere, folks. He's already there. It might just not look like how you think it should look, but we are called to love our neighbors and to go where they are. If you can't be involved physically in any of these things, you can pray. I would invite us in the new year to pray by name for the institutions and communities that surround this geographical location, where this is no mistake that New Song Church is at this particular address. It is no mistake. God has placed us here. He has placed you here in this body of fellowship. So pray by name for them. We've got other crazy ideas in the new year. I'd like to hear more. Give me your crazy ideas of how we can connect with people in our neighborhood. A friend of mine, a church in Wisconsin or somewhere like that, once a month they go to the local laundrette with piles of quarters, and they play music with the permission of the owners, right? They play music, and they have snacks and stuff, and they pay for everyone's laundry that night. It's a pretty low-income neighborhood, so that's a big deal. And they just get to know their neighborhood. There's no like hard sell or anything. They're just saying, hey, we love you. We want to help pay for your laundry tonight. Let's hang out. The garden ministry is a growing thing too. So let's be eager to join God where he's already working and to be listening together for his invitations. He is inviting us. And sometimes we're like either too scared or just somehow there's too much other noise in our heads. It's listening like, God, do you want me to step in over there? Where do you want me to go? Here's me. Send me. Second moment was not so pleasant. Okay? Not all things in church are pleasant, okay? If you haven't figured that out by now, let me tell you. There are some moments. Last summer, we did a sermon series called All Things New, and it was about changing our perspectives. And it was challenging. It caused some discomfort and consternation for some folks in New Song Church, including myself. And I didn't necessarily agree with everything that was said by the speakers that we had here either. But here's the thing. If we truly believe in this Jesus who is so much wiser than us and wants to change us, then discomfort and change should be a regular part of our lives. It should be a norm. Think about Jesus' disciples who said things like, "Surely not, Lord," right? "Surely not, Lord," or "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And that was the point when many of them said, "I'm out of here. Goodbye. Don't want to change that way. Don't want to hear this anymore. That's too difficult," whatever, right? But we talked about the fact that this is a beautiful thing because Jesus said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." Even in this last series, we talked about what to wear for this Christmas, realizing that some of the comfy clothes that we wear need to be thrown away and replaced with new clothes, which Jesus will give us, right? Patience, gentleness, compassion, self-control, humility, all these things. And love above all covers all things. So I just guarantee you this next year there's going to be some chances to divide, to be offended. As many of you know, I served and lived on Orcas Island for almost 10 years. And the nature of an island is really interesting because we were the only non-denominational, evangelical, Christian, Bible-believing kind of Jesus-centered church on the whole island. So there wasn't really any of the churches you could go to except if you wanted a four-hour ferry journey. And we had all kinds of people from different Christian traditions and backgrounds who were living there together and worshiping together. So we held very firmly to this saying, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty or freedom. You're free to believe about these things what you wish, and in all things, love. That's the number one thing. So in essentials, we want to be about who Jesus is. That's what we're going to teach, the Christian truths about Christ. In non-essentials, liberty. So the way the world began, the way the world is going to end, whatever, etc. These kinds of things, you can be free to believe about those what you wish. And let's be respectful in our holding our own non-essential convictions. But in all things love, we don't violate love. That's the point. So when people had disagreements on Orcas Island, they had to figure them out. Or take 4-hour ferry journeys to the church on the mainland. And it kind of caused us to hold together. And it was a beautiful thing. And I think we had the conviction that since we're also on an island, we're very, very connected with our community. These people were watching us every single day. And the most damaging thing for our testimony was to see Christians arguing with each other and separating from each other or suing each other, whatever it might be. And conversely, the most beautiful witness was to see these people who named Jesus as their Lord and Savior bearing with each other with respect and love and kindness and engaging in dialogue and conversation about things that matter but about which they may disagree. And I always wondered to myself, is this possible not on an island? And I kind of thought, probably not. There are many other churches we can go to. It's much easier to separate than to stay and do the hard work of conversation and dialogue. And I just want to say, in light of the past season that we did, there were some folks here who had some strong responses to that. But I just want to celebrate the fact that people stayed and they engaged with me. And not only did they maybe think differently perhaps, but I tell you, I did too. I learned a lot from these honest conversations, and they are really important. And I want to commit myself to continuing to do so with you guys. And if you see something, say something. Don't just walk away to the 4-hour ferry journey. Well, actually, it's probably a 5-minute car ride. So much easier. I know we're in for a challenging year when it comes to the P word. Can I say politics in church? I'm gonna, right? But we have to understand that our unity is based on something which is ultimate, which is Jesus Christ. And we cannot, for the sake of our witness to our community and the sake of our growing through the difficult times, the things that are hard, that change us in positive ways and mature us to be who the kind of people that just demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, we cannot hold to something so strongly that is a lesser affiliation than Christ or some kind of tribe. That which is temporary and passing away, and most things are temporary and passing away. The Christianity Today posted a thing about our president and their concern about that. Then the Christian Post posted a thing in response to that. And then Christianity Today posted a thing in response to that. But the last one was really saying, like, we have got to work this out together, church. Because what that revealed was a really large split through American Christianity of people who are not talking to each other and who are drawing battle lines. And the body of Christ should never be split asunder. And I think it's a grand experiment possible in this coming year that we can have conversations about things we're deeply convicted strongly about, but yet we will not separate. We will stay for the conversation. I guarantee we will meet Christ there and we will be stronger. Because of it, and a witness to our community. All the rest of the people are walking away from each other, and we're walking towards each other because of Jesus. That's what he would have for us, I think. And we want to help do that. This is not easy stuff. This is difficult. Much easier to walk away. How many family arguments happened over Thanksgiving, Christmas for you guys that you couldn't walk away, right? Because you got a ride from someone else, or... You know, families stick together and they work it out, okay? So watch out for some things. I talked about this book we're going to do about political stuff and how to have conversations about politics. We're going to do it. Watch for that coming soon. The bookshelf out there is going to have more different books on it. If something catches your eye, especially some of you go like, hey, I don't think I agree with that, read it. Then come talk to me. Let's have conversations about these things. Because what is the worst thing that can happen? Is that we have our thinking challenged, that we end up talking with somebody that we don't necessarily agree with, and Jesus will meet us there, I guarantee it. The last thing is a little moment. Hey, thanks for me being last. I got a little extra time. Thanks, guys. The most recent one was from a membership class that we had. We invited 16 people or so into fellowship at New Song. These are some of them. It was a really beautiful moment. And what I loved about it was the seriousness and the just the joy that those folks brought to this moment of just stepping into a deeper sense of covenant with one another. And when I did, actually, the week before this, we did a membership class, and I was talking about, I can't even remember what I was talking about. I had a little epiphany. I pictured in my mind the sanctuary from that day, because we did the class after church, and the first thing I thought was like the amount of empty seats in the room, and for our numbers-obsessed church landscape, right, that is a bad thing, right? Man, you got to have your full church, etc. We're kind of numbers-obsessed. But the very next thought that came to me was the picture, the faces of the people filling the seats that were occupied. And the fact that at this point in this church's life, from my perspective, everyone who comes here on a regular basis is engaged and participates and is involved. And that is an incredibly powerful thing. And I think this is something that we want to really press into. As Melody said, think about the mission and think about your perspective on it, your place in it. In what ways are you being transformed by the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus, love people, and do good? Where does that intersect with your actual lived life, whether it's here or in your life out there in whatever it is that you're doing? Sundays, I talk about Sundays sometimes, and why do we come to church on Sundays? That's worth a sermon in and of itself, probably, because it can be like, well, it's a duty or it's a habit. But my perspective on that is part of discipleship. How do people, churches, I think we all admit that we're not doing a very good job of discipleship. And why is that? I think one of the reasons is because one of the core aspects of discipleship is watching other people who've maybe traveled a little bit further with Jesus than you have. Hearing them, talking with them, serving alongside them. And I think Sunday morning and other times when the church is gathered is a wonderful place to do that. So I think those of us who really want to commit to Jesus, I think showing up is not for what you get. It's not for the wonderful sermon that you receive from me. Yeah. Nor is it for the sweet dulcet tones of Tyler's singing voice. It's actually for somebody else. You show up to demonstrate with your life what it looks like to follow Jesus. That's why you come. And if the less that we do that, the less vibrant and strong will our discipleship be for others. Because I think about the empty seats that are around. Look around. See these empty seats? I perceive that these empty seats will not to be filled by people who are so attracted to my accent or the wonderful things that happen in New Song. Seriously, and they come from another church, which they're disgruntled about. They get the ferry, and they get the ferry over to this church. But actually, people who don't want anything to do with church, or they've been in a church and they got so hurt that they're disgusted with the whole enterprise, or those who just don't know anything about this fabulous story that we find so compelling, that's going to involve all of us to participate in deep ways. And I'm not saying, hey, be guilty if you're not doing more and more and more. That's not it. But it's find that singular thing that you are being called towards and then throw yourself into it. And come, if you feel ill-equipped, if you feel that there's not enough resources, if you feel that you need to understand more about some aspect of your faith, please engage yourself with the things that we offer that are meant to equip us for ministry. And tell me, say, Grant, you're doing a really poor job of helping me to understand how to do this. Please come and talk to me about that. Sign up for a small group. Talk about discipleship opportunities. Just talking through the faith and the word of God with a small group. We're going to do the thing about where you work. We finally got the map put together wonderfully. This is where all the people who signed up work. And we're going to gather together for lunch free lunch, man. Come on. And myself and Chris Neal, who talked about the message last summer about vocation and ministry, we're going to meet with those little groups of people, whoever's closest to each other, and we're going to talk about the fact that this is not by mistake that you guys live and work in vicinity of each other. You can start praying for the places around you and start praying for one another. We're going to do that, and hopefully more things that will be equipping us for the ministry that we all have, both here together to our local community, but also wherever you are, wherever your family is. How do we help ourselves to become better at getting to know our immediate neighbors, the ones that just live right next door to us? How do we start to pray for them? How do we start to open our homes up for some kind of hospitality that they can get to see a real Christian in action, right? Arguing with their spouse over dinner, things like that, you know, like real people, right? But then full of grace and forgiveness afterwards. So 2020, as Melody said and Peter said, we'll seek to be transformed by the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus, to love people, and to do good. And Jesus really said these things in two commandments that he gave the church. The first is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I think 2020 needs to be a year of simplicity. Let's think about these two things. If we put these first, I think much of the other stuff that we get our heads all jumbled up with will be taken care of. Each day, how do I love you, God? And you're my God. Love your God. Father, Daddy, we're his kids. And then to seek to love our neighbor as ourselves, which starts with being able to love yourself. You guys are pretty lovable. You know, you are creation. You are unique, individual, beautiful, complex, priceless creations. And God loves you. And we want to have that ringing out too. The second one is go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You know, we want to be so porous to guests, so porous to broken people, so non-judgmental about what it is that they're coming from, what it is they're engaged currently with, the whole belonging, believing, behaving thing. But we also truly believe in the transformative power of Jesus. And we believe we who call ourselves his disciples are called to obey him and are called to testify with our lives to his presence and his power. I'm already praising God for the harvest of 2020. But I tell you, it will be slow, painstaking work and effort of faithful prayer and participation and honesty with each other. So I'd say, you know, sign your name up for where, we don't know what that is yet, but God will show us together what it is that he has for us. And it's going to be pretty darn cool, but it's going to be times of hardship, opportunities to be disgruntled with one another, but we will hold together. Let's pray as we close. I'll invite Tyler to come up and lead us in worship also. Lord, you alone know who's sitting here right now, where they've come from, what's going through their head right now, their mind, what they're having for lunch shortly, and how hungry they are to get there. But this is important stuff, Lord. This is life. This is life. And you offer us something greater than a lot of the things that we find ourselves so distracted by, and our priorities just often seem out of whack. We make resolutions at this time of year, and then we break them and we lose them. So Lord, let us keep that simple. Let us simply make our resolution to wake up every day and say yes to you. Simply say yes to you, because we don't know who it is that we should be yet. We know we're not there yet. We don't know what it is that you're going to lead us into in this year individually and as a church. We don't know what trials and tragedies we will be meeting in this coming year. All we know is that you are sufficient. You have told us so. You're faithful. You will never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, you simply ask for us to say yes to you. And then you engage in our lives in such a way that we are transformed. We remain so earthbound in so many ways, but help us, Lord, to fix our eyes upon you. Help us to love each other well. Help us to love each other well, and let that love be the power that leads us into the courage that it takes to step into communities and the lives of others. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.